So the most important thing, can you go ahead and get us some of the Swedish players back in the Red Wings so we can get in the playoffs again?
Yeah, I'll work on that. you're struggling a bit now, yeah?
We are. And it was funny because we were just talking about when Nicholas comes here to visit, when we see Lidstrom and we see Hank, they look like they could just play right now.
Yeah. Lidstrom is keeping good in shape, huh?
Yeah, well, and he's got that giant house now in Sweden, so I don't think he needs us.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, I'm a massive ice hockey fan, so I follow it a lot. And yeah, it's a shame that Zetterberg cannot play anymore, but yeah.
Well, you're going to have some time. Well, you may be busy, but when you come here to Detroit for the Detroit Grand Prix, that's going to be interesting. Have you ever done a back-to-back race like that?
No, I never done it in smaller categories, but not in like Formula One or anything like that.
And to think that you have such a build-up, like we always, it's interesting to us that you're talking about having, what, a month building up for Indy, and then you wind up spending like, the week after Indy, you have back-to-back races. So that period is going to be really extreme on you.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a tough challenge, like both physically and mentally for sure.
I'm an F1 fan. I'm one of those guys that gets up in the morning and watches the races as well. And one of the things that was always interesting to me, and I always wanted to ask you, was as a driver and being successful as you are, but competitive as race car drivers have to be, when you went to the track and you knew that you were going to be in the middle of the pack, that the first six cars were in a different world because of their technology or whatever it was, how do you mentally prepare yourself for that as a driver who wants to win?
It's really tough, and to be 100% fair with you, it's one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to make the step to IndyCar, because it just presents that challenge to fight for wins again and fight at the top. And unfortunately, Formula One, it's a bit more of a manufacturer's championship than a driver's championship, because if you're not in one of them top cars, like I say, you know you're stuck in the middle or the bottom of the field, and it's a bit tough mentally to sort of go through that, and especially for me, I did 5 years of sort of bottom of the grid teams, and it's really tough mentally because, like you say, you always, try and win, and that's your mentality. And then when you don't have the chance to even do that, it's really tough. So yeah, that's something I'm really excited about now this year in IndyCar to really have that opportunity again.
Well, and one of the things that we always as fans have really come to enjoy in IndyCar, especially in the past couple of years, Marcus, is that we don't know who's going to win. I mean, you can say who's going to be up front, but it's not a given anymore. I mean, there are so many great drivers. There are no backmarkers in IndyCar.
Exactly, and that's what I think is great with the series. You watch a race, and up until it's two laps to go, you don't know who will win it because it can change all the time. And before every weekend, there is like 20 guys that can win a race. It's incredible, but it's what's great with the series. And, it what makes it exciting to watch as well, I think. And, to know that fact that, one weekend you can win the race, the next weekend you can be P20 if you're struggling to get the setup and the driving right. And I think that just makes the competition so, tough and really makes you have to bring your A game every single time to be right up there.
So if F1, we've always heard the analogy that F1 is you're a fighter pilot, that it's as mental as it is physical. From what I've read and what you're experienced so far in driving in the number 7 Honda, is it more physical than F1?
It's not more physical, but it's different physical, I would say. Because the Formula 1 cars have so extreme high cornering speeds with the downforce they have in a Formula 1 car today, you get a lot of G-force for the neck and shoulders. So that's a lot more tough on the neck and shoulders compared to an Indy car. But an Indy car doesn't have the power steering, so it's a lot more tough to do steer the car, basically. So it's for the arms, it's a lot more tough with an Indy car. So I would say both are similar, tough to drive, but just a bit different.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And one of the things I thought was really interesting, our guest Marcus Ericsson, one of the things, Marcus, you brought up was driving to the edge, that, in a lot of series, and not just F1, but a lot of series, like even watching Daytona, their foot in the floor. They know how fast they're going to go. And it's just a question of, can they find the right drafting partner? Can they do that? In IndyCar, it seems to me that, and we're seeing it more and more often, that you guys find the edge during the race, which is crazy to me, but that seems to be one of the really interesting things of watching an IndyCar race.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, during a race, it can really change the conditions of the track and the grip and everything. And it's just constantly evolving during a race. And it's quite different like that. And it makes, I think, the racing really exciting as well when you both drive and watch it.
Does this... Are you? I want to say re-energized, but you've got a taste for it this year. Like, you know, to be here and driving IndyCar, you want that win, I would assume, right? That first and foremost, you want that win.
Exactly. I mean, that's one of the big goals for me this year, is to win at least one race, because it's been like over 5 years since I won a race, because I obviously didn't win anything in F1, and I won races in GP2, the category below, in 2013. And now I have the chance again. So that's like one of my big goals this year, is to win at least one race.
Well, and there's so many great courses for you. I mean, and, you know, obviously, we talk about Detroit here with the Detroit Grand Prix, but I mean, Laguna Seca, and then you talk about even St. Pete and a lot of mid-Ohio and these road courses. Have you studied all the tracks? How much have you actually put time in and looking at each track that's on the circuit this year?
I've been trying to watch back some of the races from last year to prepare myself. And then before every Grand Prix, I will for sure watch a lot of onboard and footage from the previous years to prepare myself. But it's going to be a challenge for me, you know, because all tracks are new for me. So it's a lot to learn and sort of get up to speed with. But that's one of the challenges and one of the things that I'm, you know, looking forward to, that challenge to sort of learn new tracks and become competitive on them.
And you couldn't pick a better teammate than James Hinchcliffe. I mean, not only experience, but it seems like his mentality is one that he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's just going to block you out from information and not share everything with you.
No, it's exactly like that. He's like the perfect teammate. I think coming into a new series, he's first of all, he's a very good driver, but also like he's such a nice and friendly guy, very open, easygoing, and you know, already he's been helping me up a lot, so whatever I have questions I can go to him and ask, and he will try and help me as much as he can. So it's been really, really helpful to have a teammate like him, and I think during the year it's going to be great to have someone like him next to me in the team to sort of learn from, and that will be very, very important for my learning process.
So about 5-6 years ago, I interviewed Takuma Sato, and I asked him, if you could win one race, would it be Monaco or Indy? And he looked at me with, I wouldn't say disdain, he kind of rolled his eyes and goes, Monaco, of course. And I, okay. And then he wins Indy, and I ran into him the next year. And he looked at me and goes, can I change my answer? He had... go ahead.
I think the Indy 500 is bigger than the Monaco Grand Prix. I think Indy 500 is like the biggest race you can do in the world. And I think to win that is... I think it's unreal. It's something you cannot, you know, it's just an unreal experience, I think. So for me, that would be like,
Well, I think you're going to do really well at Indy, because one of the things that, as again, going to the race too, so much of what we talk about with Indy 500 is discipline. I mean, just that consistency. Yeah. And that's what you know, throughout your career, you have been just startlingly consistent. And that's such a plus in this series.
Exactly. And I think that, like you say, I think that would be the key in IndyCar, to be consistent, have discipline, and, you know, do as little mistakes as possible. And that's something I see as one of my strengths. So I need to play against that strength this year and really make the most of that.
Are you done with the IKEA jokes now? You did the one video with James. We're done with the IKEA jokes for the year?
Yeah. To be fair, like, it is a joke, but it's also true, because I went, like, to furnish my new apartment, I went to IKEA, like, 4 days in a row.
Oh, come on, Marcus.
I'm Swedish, you know. I need to support my fellow Swedish companies.
So, we're not typecasting you. You don't show up to the track driving a Saab 900 either.
This is true, yeah. They do have nice cars, though.
That would have been a 99 over there, though. Right now, we had the 900 here. You had the 99 in Sweden, yeah, right?
This is true.
I'm getting this all down. So what is the takeaway for you this year? Tell me about Marcus Ericsson, the last thing here. And thank you so much for the time. It's an honor talking to you. This year, coming into IndyCar, as a driver, as a person, how do you feel about this whole year?
I'm super excited. It's like I said, it's like a fresh start for me, coming from 5 years in Formula One. Get a chance to compete for wins and podiums again. It's going to be really exciting. You know, exploring America, meeting a lot of new people, seeing a lot of new places. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I go into the year with a really open mind, really energized and ready for it. And, you know, I'm going to put in a lot of hard work and hopefully have a very successful and fun year.
Oh, you're with a great team, too. I mean, what a compliment with Aeroschmidt. I mean, that's just and driving with Honda. That's a beautiful car, too. Although you did break up a valid point. Did Haas pay you guys after they stole your paint scheme?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it looks very similar to us, doesn't it?
So, it does.
Yeah, the car looks amazing with the black and gold matte finish. It's just incredible. So it's going to look really good out on track as well. So, yeah, can't wait to race the black and gold Aero SPM car.
So last lap of the Indy 500 this year, and you get a dump Fernando Alonso for the win. Would that be like your dream there? You just blow right by him?
Yeah, that would be the dream, I think. Yeah.
Oh, man. I like that. It's going to be fun, and congratulations. We're looking forward to seeing you here in the Motor City, of course, the Detroit Grand Prix, the back-to-backs, and we'll take you out for a Coney dog. Do you know what that is?
I don't know, no.
Okay, it's a long story. You can Google it, but the gist of it is it's a hot dog with chili, onions, and mustard. When people came from New York to Detroit to work in the car factories, the guy opened a restaurant, and they asked him what kind of hot dog is, and he goes, it's a Coney dog, and it's been part of the Detroit landscape for 100 years.
Oh, wow. All right, I need to try that, man. That'll be weird, but yeah, I'm up for it. Yeah. I like everything.
So. Okay, well, hey, we'll take you out, Marcus. Yeah, just don't do that before the race. That could be bad.
All right, good point.
All right, all the best. Marcus Ericsson, it was fun. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.